Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's so good to see you all again. You make each week wonderful. God's Sabbath is a time we're to be together, and what a wonderful time it is. I was telling Mr. Barker when he came down, we will not have services on the 26th. When we got the auditorium, they said they needed 2 weekends to do things, and we said, well, that'll work fine, because usually we have to miss 2 weekends when we go to the feast, but this year it's pretty close, so we could come back. But so I'm sorry about that, but we'll have to wait till after the 26th. We'll have to be in November. Ooh, sound like a long time away when we go away. Well, I hope you all had a good week. Did many of you reflect back when they talked about 9/11? Did you look anything on news about it? You know, it brought back a lot of memories. That's 23 years ago. 23 years ago. Do you remember where you were at? I remember exactly where I was at. I couldn't believe it. I was at a donut shop eating a donut, and they had a TV on when they hit the first tower. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. But you know, God has blessed our nation, and everybody hates God's people. Other nations hate us. God has blessed us so much, and you and I need to be thankful that we live in such a nation, although we do see that the nation is really going down. The more we turn away from God, the worse it gets. So today, let's talk about something that's really good. Let's talk about God's holy days, the days that you and I are looking forward to. We get to be together more times here at the end of this season than we are for over half a year or better. And what a wonderful time it is. And when we think about the blessings that you and I have of being called to understand what the rest of the world does not understand. They have no idea there's a better world coming, a better life coming. This is just a temporary time. They think when they die, a lot of them, it's just over. Well, sometimes it may be at the end, but hopefully most people will not be over. Hopefully there will be many come in later on and be in God's kingdom. But at the beginning, we're very small. Look how small we are here. You know, I was thinking the other day how all of a sudden we got this opportunity to get this fine hall here. And you know, we weren't looking for a place. We didn't really want to go anywhere. We were happy. We have been there for years. It's just like being at home, right? You know, every Saturday, we're going to the Fairborn Senior Citizen. That's where we're at. We feel comfortable there. But you know, sometimes we have to be shaken up. Sometimes I'm thinking that maybe things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. We have a lot of empty chairs here. I mean, we have a lot of empty chairs. And you know, the church hasn't grown for years and years. But when I came into church back in the 60s, I want to tell you what, every week it seemed like we had new people coming. Every week. Because God had opened our hearts and our minds to understand. When I came to Dayton, there was probably about 200 and some people. Within a few years, we was up to 800 people. Within, I think, 15 years, 12 or 15 years. 800 people. Now, we have plenty of room for God to open some people's minds to have a bigger church in Dayton. This place will hold over 200 people. So that'd be like three times more than we have here usually now. And I'm wondering, maybe we're not looking ahead. Maybe God says, yeah, that's why I offered you this. I'm hoping that's so. I don't know if it is. I was just thinking about it. I said, wow, how come we got such a nice place with 200 and some chairs and we got 50 some people at the most coming to most services? So that's something we can pray about. That God will open people's hearts and minds, and we will be here to help guide and direct them. And what better time now than at the feast days? God opened your hearts and my heart to understand. And wasn't it amazing? Can you remember how you felt when you started understanding God's way of life? Do you remember how excited you were that there's somebody else that thinks like I do? Wow! And then you're saying, oh no, I didn't want that too. That wasn't what I wanted. And they said, oh no, that's what you got to do. I go, oh, okay. They showed it, proved it to me. I was young and dumb, and we all are. We have a little bit of it normally, but not a lot of us were ever big time Christian people. And if we were, guess what? I was in the Church of Christ, and hey, it was comfortable. It was fine. You know, I always sort of enjoyed teasing my Catholic friends, because we would go to do something on Friday night, and before we could do anything, they had to go, you know, repent of their sins, go and, then they would come out, and we'd go do the same thing we did last week. Woo! We didn't change a thing. And they went back again next week and did whatever they had to do. And they came back. I said, you people really have a good deal. I said, you can just do whatever you want. You go in there and, you know. And then we go back out and we run around and we speed and we da-da-da and this and that. But you know, that isn't what God showed us, is it? This isn't something you do part-time. It's got to be full-time. We have to be serving God all the time, and we're to be examples to the world all the time. Oh, by the way, you who are out there watching, I am so glad we were able to get the mic fixed thanks to our help up here in the booth here. They've really done a fine job. We got, so if someone like me likes to move around, you can still hear me. Well, maybe you liked it better when it shut off when I moved. I don't know, but you know. But I'm glad for your sake that you'll be able to hear everything, and I know it's been a problem. So another thing to be thankful for, we're getting some of the glitches out. That takes time when you move to a new place. But so let's turn over to Leviticus 23. I bet you've all seen or heard this many times before. But you know what? God wants us to see, know, go over it every year. Every year. And I'm going to start in verse 23, because that's the holy day we're looking forward to right now. You notice when we do the first holy days, we have Passover. And we're looking at ourselves very much to see what we can do, dig out of our, I guess you say, closet that we may have in our own self, our minds, that we need to check and repent so we're ready for baptism and have all those sins removed. Well, you know, maybe we should do the same thing about the time we hit the fall feast, because we have four feasts, boom, 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 right in a row. We go Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, where God tells us where to go and be for 7 days together, and then the eighth day. How many of you would have ever taken off anywhere? Maybe not now, but when I came in years ago, people to take off for 8 days or 9 days and go somewhere and stay every year. Back then, it was a poor time. Things have got a lot better. People have more money and stuff. But you know, God said do it then, and guess what? He provided. When I first started the feast, I went to the tent up in Poconos. I'd never seen such a large tent in my life. That thing would hold 12,000 people or more. And we're in the Poconos. And I remember the first year, I was so excited to be there. I was so excited. And man, I just couldn't believe driving up through there, and the leaves are starting to turn, and it's so beautiful up in the Poconos areas. And sure enough, we get in there. It is pouring down rain. I got there a day early, and I had gone to the campground, and I was helping people set up tents, and these families that have 4 or 5 kids and this and that. And I mean, it was a beautiful place. Oh, just gorgeous. I said, man, maybe I should have tent camped. That would really been wonderful. Man, that's really great up here. Well, I'll tell you, that night I changed my mind real quick. That night it started raining. And we walked through, and the places were not close. I mean, you were talking from here to at least Wilmington Pike on the one side. And then they went back farther than that, and you had to walk to get to there. We're talking about rain. I remember seeing these people, because I'm like 19 or 20 years old at the time, and I feel so sorry for them. They got wagons. They got 2 kids in a wagon. They're dragging 2 kids through this water. And I go, oh, man, whew, I'm glad I don't have any children. That'd be horrible. Well, we no sooner get into the tent, and there's a tornado warning. And it's raining so hard in the tent, they had the big post, and then they had the lights going down, and the water was coming in, and all of a sudden, all the light bulbs going pop, 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 all over the place. And the rain was getting more and more. And you're going like, wow. And I'll never forget Mr. Armstrong, Garnet Armstrong, got up and says, well, he says, you know, he said, we got tornadoes warnings. We better go home. And I'm going, are you kidding me? I got to walk out in that rain? I'm just now starting to drench out a little bit. But guess what? We left. And the one nice thing about being to Poconos, for those, some of you have been there, a lot of you have been there, in fact, but a lot of you don't have any idea what it used to be like. You didn't have all the gushy stuff we have today, staying in these nice cities and different things to do and all that. They had a few things. But when you think about it, it was some of the best times there were. Because we got to know everybody. And guess what? We all had the same thing to talk about. We'd come back in, hey, you made it through the river today, huh? Good to see you. You know, because the water was running underneath your seats half the time we was there. Well, 3 days, I think we were there. I mean, running water. We had rain. And there's no babies laying on the floor, I guarantee you, because they would have been down the road. But anyhow, look what we go to today. Things are so much better in so many ways. But you know, I like Walnut Creek because it reminds me of the 60s and the 70s when I was at Wisconsin Dells, Poconos, Ozarks, and it gives you the atmosphere because there's nobody's in a hurry to run because there's nowhere to really go a whole lot. One day you can go around and you can see about everything you want to see up there, 2 at the most. It's a beautiful area. It's up in the Amish country, got good food, good places to visit, and the trees are just gorgeous. you know, in the fall. This year should be real tight. But God makes you and I go do this. How blessed can you be? How blessed can you be? Let's go back to Leviticus 23 and get down to the Feast of Trumpets, though. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath of rest, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." That's what we're going to be keeping here shortly. First feast day in the fall. I'd like for you to turn to Deuteronomy 16. I just like the expression about the Feast of Trumpets on that. If you'll turn there with me. Verse 15, well, let's go back to 13. Feast of Tabernacles. It's talking about here. I guess I didn't know what I wanted. But this is what I want to bring out. Because we're going to do the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles, but here's what it says. That is different than anywhere else when you post it, at least in my Bibles. Verse 15 says, well, I'll go back to 13. "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress. And you shall rejoice in your feast, and you and your son and your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord God, in the place which the Lord choose, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hand, so that you surely rejoice." And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Be together and rejoice. But I lost my... looking for... I guess... I was going to compare, I guess. Go back to Leviticus 23 again. I guess I was going to compare what they said. But sorry about that. Let's go back to Leviticus 23 and let me talk about trumpets. I'm sorry. In verse 23 again, it says, "Then the Lord God spoke Joseph, saying... Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets, a holy convocation." Just a little different. It goes from sacred. I love the sacred part. I think we need to sometimes understand how sacred that is to God, keeping his feast days. I just like the terminology of it. But it's all the same. But it is a sacred day. Just as today, God's Sabbath is a sacred day. Any holiday, holy day of God's is sacred to God because he made it. And we're to keep it. And he lets us know for sure that there's no doubt that we are to be here. And when we're here, we have the blessing of hearing God's truth and way of life. And we get to know each other as brothers and sisters. And we get to love each other because we get to know each other. We learn to care more about each other. We are a family. Someday we are going to teach others how to become a family. and part of God's kingdom. But that's later on in God's holidays coming. But as we keep the Feast of Trumpets, can you imagine when we're raised from the dead, or whether we're raised as a living being out of being a physical being to a spiritual being, and hearing those trumpets going when Christ returns, and we're going to be a part of His army, of His family, and we're going to help correct the world. And to do that, many, many will have to die. Many will die. And just like anything else, whenever you have a pain or you get hurt, and one of your children get hurt, and He gives them the opportunity to understand His truth and His way of life that He has given us already, we will be that loving parent, friend to them, as God and Jesus Christ has been to you and me. God offered His Son, and His Son willingly died so that you and I are here today. And you and I have an opportunity for eternal life. It's something sometimes we forget. We take it for granted. Let's not take anything for granted. You know why? Because I have seen so many friends of mine who took it for granted and forgot it, and they're not here today. And I know you have too. And it hurt. It's just like when any of your children, your physical children, something happens to them or they do something wrong. It hurts because you want nothing but the best for them. And God wants nothing but the best for you and me. When He opened our hearts and minds, He didn't want us to quit. His Son gave His life that you and I can be forgiven if we repent. And we need to thank God all the time because we take so much for granted. We take health for granted. When you're young, when you're middle age, and then you get my age. And a lot of us in here, all of a sudden, it's not quite the same. You know where the old say, go run to the door, and you say, well, if you don't mind, I'll just try and get there. But you know what? Someday, if we have to, and if we're here when it's time, we have to go to a place of safety, we're going to be healed. You'll be able to walk. He says He'll take care of us. We don't have to fear. And those who have had illnesses for a long time, we have a lot of you out there who have been laid up for years. And to think that you're going to get up and you're going to be able to go and go where God says, no pain. And then we'll be changed. In twinkling of an eye. The Feast of Trumpets, when Christ returns. We're going to be changed. There's going to be no more pain. No more physical pain. That's hard to understand. And that's why we have to keep in mind how much God loves each of us. And how much He wants to make sure that none of us leave. He says all we have to do is repent. And we'll be able to keep God's Feast of Trumpets for eternity. Maybe just as a memorial. Because everybody who will be there will have kept it at one time or another. If they're raised later on, we're raised because they repent. you know? The people never understood. They'll have to be keeping those days before they ever are changed from a physical being to a spiritual being. What a blessing it will be for us when we're at the Feast of Trumpets and realize we're keeping the feast as God says and rejoicing that Christ returns, that the sadness of the world will finally be overcome as we see what is happening in the United States. Look what is going on. This is not like the country was 10 years ago. It's got so bad. Ever since the pandemic, it's like they don't want anything mentioned about God now. They're trying to get rid of God. Before, you were always responsible for your child. If your child did something wrong, you're responsible. Today, they can take your child's gender away from them, and you can't do a thing. That shows how far we have gone in just a few years. So what will it be like in the next 5 or 8 years? What will it be like in one more year? You and I need to make sure, as we keep God's Feast of Trumpets, we are praising our God so much for opening our minds that we can rejoice together with God where he says, learning and growing. And all of our friends who are out here who are laid up, they will have no more sickness. They'll be back with the family. They miss the family. Whenever I miss church, do you miss going to church? Anybody I've ever known, they're so thankful that we now have the webcast and stuff. Years ago, you used to have to wait to get tapes. And years ago, it wasn't on that in a week either. Sometimes it's a lot longer than that. Now they are able to at least to see what's going on. I wish we had a camera in here so they could come on the backside here and look at you out here so they could see everyone. And you know, maybe someday we ought to try and do that and just come up after church and go by and say hi. You know, they would enjoy that, I'm sure, so much. That would be such a wonderful thing for him to say. Just if you said hi and good to see you, hope you're doing well. Someday we will be together. As Ron brought out, they love the cards. They love the phone calls. They realize they're not forgotten. We never want our brothers and sisters to feel forgotten. Never. If we do, we better be afraid. Because God, that's God's child. As we are God's child, so are they God's child. And God doesn't want his children not treated right, not felt loved, not felt cared for. The feast cards, be sure you sign it. If you want to send your own, send others. But I was talking and you know, as Mr. Barker brought out, those feast baskets mean so much to them because they know there's been a lot of effort into making them be noticed and cared for, and that we love them and that we miss them, and we'd like for this to be a better day for them too, this feast that they're not be able to, but think of us when you eat of the fruit. Think of God's feast, how God provided it. Each of us have cared enough for them to go the extra mile. You know, when I first came to church, I used to fear the widows. Literally fear them, because I was a young guy, around 20 years old. Not very smart, not a lot of sense sometimes. So what would I do? Well, this is what Dave Hemsley thought was a good idea. I said, well, you know what? I should always try to make a widow smile, because they have a hard life. They don't have a husband. They don't have someone sometimes to help them with the kids if there's kids. They don't have someone to help them with their chores and stuff and take things done. So I tried to make it my responsibility on myself only to go up and try to kid someone who was a widow, and always tried to look out for orphans. We had church and YOU and stuff like that. I always tried to go pick up kids and take them who were orphans. Because that was one thing to, what? That was one thing the widower didn't have to take care of. Run them back and forth to schools and stuff to play ball or to do cheerleading or to do volleyball or whatever we did, or softball. That was a service to one of God's children. And it was a widow. So I didn't have this in my thing, but you know, and James tells you, you better fear the widows. They have a lot of power. I surely never want a widow to say, he did me this. Because that's his wife. That's not good. But in James it tells you, take care of the widows. And we need to make sure we do that. But I'm just telling you what I did. I didn't know, you know, but as a single guy coming in, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to help in the church. And of course, I was dumb anyhow, about didn't know much of anything. So I'm trying to take in everything that's going on. But we need to remember the widows, the orphans. We need to make sure they're taken care of. That's part of our job, as being Christians and part of God's family. But you know, we are looking forward to Feast of Trumpets, as we should be. We should be looking so forward, so excited, to realize in a twinkling of an eye, you and I will be rid of this physical body that aches and pains when you get older. You have no more pain. Satan will be tied up shortly for a while, and then God's kingdom will be redone, be on earth, bring down the holy city, and you and I will be a part of that after we've helped Christ, our Savior, give his life that we be healed, be forgiven, and blessed. He did that for you, and me. We need to always keep that in mind. Turn with me to Matthew 20:16. You've heard it many times, but it's a good time to remember it. It needs to always be remembered. I know you probably know it by heart. I was trying to think if I wanted to do a couple of verses before, but I'll just do 20:16 itself. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 22:14 basically says the same thing. Just turn over to one more page. We'll go back on verse 12 on this one. We'll go back to 11. It says, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. What does that tell you? Better dress right for the occasion. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be no weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. That part above I read lets us know that when we come before a king, we're to be at our best. Best behavior, best that we can be, and thanking God that we have an opportunity to be chosen now, to be a part of his family. We have to finish the race. And the next part of our race is the next holy day, which is the Feast of Trumpets. Well, we'll be reunited. We will be united with Jesus Christ and all those who are with him. The angels and those who will be fighting, ready to destroy the world for what it has become, and those who are in it because they've turned their back on God. It will be what you call a bloodbath. We do not want to be a part of that bloodbath. We do not want to ever leave God. You and I want to understand, to stay close to God, that we'll be there at the beginning before Christ does the damage and be a part of the goodness of God, of cleaning up the mess and not being part of the mess that's going to be cleaned up. What a blessing you and I have. We'll turn to 1 Corinthians 15:50. You've read this many times this time of year. First Corinthians 15:52. I'll go back to 50. Now that I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible shall put on an incorruption, and the mortal shall put on immortality. But when the corruptible put on incorruption and the mortal put on immortality, they shall be brought to pass the saving that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Pretty well tells you what Feast of Trumpets is going to happen afterwards. You're either going to be there in total victory with God the Father, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine being there when Christ presents us to God? Do you think when Christ sees all of us who have done what's been done as he did, changed, repented, Don't you think, say, boy, it was worth me dying that you're here. It was worth your dying. I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad you finished the race. Got too far out of the mic. God wants none of us to fail. God is love. He told us that many times in his Bible. Christ has told us how much God loves us. He says, he loved you enough that he asked me to do this for you. Would you do it for me? You need to think about that sometimes. Would you die for one of us? Christ did. He died for each and every one of us. And that we can be forgiven. What a blessing we have, knowing that our God is there at any time you and I pray. And Christ is there to make sure that we get through to God the Father. That we have the opportunity. He said, give him another chance. Forgive him. He's asked forgiveness. He doesn't go there saying, oh yeah, get him, God. That guy is not worth a diddly. She shouldn't be doing it. No, just forget it. That's not God. God is like a mother when she holds that baby. Mr. Keller talks about there's nothing like a baby. Babies always make you smile. Always make you smile because they're so cute. And when you have a baby, you think you've seen the greatest thing in the world. Nah, they're really great, but when them grandbabies come around, whoa, your babies think you forgot them. Because all you talk about is those grandbabies. My mother-in-law, when she was not, well, about a year or two ago, she was 92 years old. And we'd go over there, and my daughter has the youngest kids in. I think there were one, four, and six, I think. And boy, she'd see that baby, and she'd go, baby, baby. All she wanted to do is hold that baby. That lets you know how much love that we have for human beings and the ones we love. And here we are, all of God's children. He feels that way about each and every one of us. He thinks you're cute. He thinks I'm cute. Don't laugh. I'm a big cuteness. I just wanted more cuteness. That's what it was. I just wanted more cuteness. But you know, he loves us. And he wants us to be with him. And we want to be with him. Jesus Christ told us that he went to prepare a place for those who obey God in God's holy city. That's for you and me. Let's not lose it. Hopefully Ari has her name up on the door. Say, this is da-da-da. And he sits here, and she sits there, and da-da-da. And has your name there already. Let's not have to have him take it down. That's between you and me. Not really, it's between you and God. It's between me and God, what I do. Are we following Christ's example? I pray we do. You know, we can't let Satan. I thought Mr. Burke gave a great sermon last week about sinning. I thought it was an excellent sermon. We need to realize this, that we have been so blessed. And we take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. None of us should take it for granted. When you take it for granted, you let up sometimes. And as he was talking about the devil, don't let that armor get cracked, because he will jump in both feet if he can to destroy one of God's children. Us, don't let us be one of those. Let's get stronger in our love for God. Let's get stronger in taking a look at ourselves, that we're able to come before God on his holy days, his sacred holy days. And there are sacred holy days because they're his sacred holy days, as long as we're serving him. You and I are to be ambassadors of God's way of life. Second Corinthians 5:17. Start up in 17, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors. We are representing. He has called us to be representing him in this world. He has given us instructions, his holy word. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's how much God loves you and I. That's how much God cares for you and I. And thankfully, God loves us so much. We are blessed. May we count our blessings. May we please our God. May we keep this Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and the last great day in all joy, and all love for one another and for our God. For because of him, we have that opportunity. May we all have a good feast season.